Been a little bit since we checked in with the vice chair of the Quincy School Committee, Anthony Andronico, for an update. The committee itself, Anthony, although has been very busy. How are you?
It's great to see you again, Joe. Yeah, we've been hard at work and looking forward to catching up today.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity to get an update from you now that, of course, school has reopened and kids are back in the classroom just a little bit at the time. How's that going?
So far, so good is the feedback that we've received on the school committee from our administration. Just as a reminder for folks, we've got our high needs students in and our pre-K to three students in on 2 days a week right now. And we're looking forward to getting the rest of our students, grades 4 through 12, back in the class in just a couple weeks here. The way we had it spread out, it's about 3.5-4 weeks until that phase two when we can get everyone back. And I know parents are antsy. I know the kids are antsy too. You know, they want to go back to school. And as of right now, you know, our health commissioner, Ruth Jones, has said that we can continue to move forward with our plan.
Okay, and a lot of folks were questioning earlier this week, the city slipped into the yellow category on the state's risk assessment map. So they were wondering if that would have had impact on the schools.
Yeah, we did notice that. It seems to be attributed to maybe some Labor Day partying that, you know, we would have preferred that folks followed the guidelines, wore masks, you know, 6-foot social distancing. Everyone has to do their part in every community to make sure you stay in that green zone and hopefully even the gray, which is less than 5 overall cases. But we went over the metrics with Ruth Jones the other night at our meeting. And, you know, we go over active cases, number of confirmed cases, the number of cases with people who are under 18. We go over those within the QPS community. And, you know, just so we get a better idea on the school committee on what do these numbers actually mean? Because I know it can be scary when you see, you know, your community goes into the yellow. And then what does that mean for you in a reopening society? But at this time, you know, Ruth Jones has indicated to us that, you know, it's community spread. It's not Quincy Public Schools community. And because of that, she has given us the okay and indicated to us that it's okay to continue to move forward. You know, as we said from the beginning, you know, we're going to continue to listen to our public health officials. And Ruth has been doing this a very long time. We absolutely trust her judgment.
Have you discussed about what, you know, it might take to go full remote again, just in case?
Yeah, I think in general, we'll need to see, you know, an indication that the reopening, specifically within the schools, is causing spread. Or, you know, when we go back up into that red zone, which is more than 8 cases per on a rolling average per day over a 2-week period, you know, then we're really going to have to reevaluate where we're at. And that's right in line with exactly what the governor and his administration have said with that color-coded map there as well.
Do you have any sense, Anthony, for how many students are opted to stay full remote and how many are coming, you know, back to classes twice a week?
Right. So we did get an update. I believe we had 100% of students and their families had finally responded. It took a few weeks, and I do want to tip my cap to our principals who put in a massive effort to reach out to the folks that didn't promptly respond to make sure that we had a 100% response rate. So I want to just quickly thank them. But my understanding, it varies level to level. But it looks like we're roughly at about 50% of our students are staying full remote. 50% are choosing the hybrid option. So again, it varies widely on the school. It varies widely on the grade. You know, from the best of my recollection, I want to say North Quincy High School, 44-45%. Have selected hybrid. Quincy High School is 60%. So it depends where you are. And I know we're working with, you know, our principals at each of the high schools to make sure we have enough coverage and enough staff to administer all of these things. And I know some folks have reached out and said, okay, well, if only, you know, 50% of students are choosing to go back, why can't you just do full in person for those students? And I think the answer to that, honestly, it's spacing, it's staffing, and the last part is it's the assumption that everyone who has selected hybrid also wants full in person 5 days a week. And I'm not saying that a majority of those folks wouldn't. I'm saying that I don't think some of them would necessarily opt for that. So it is something we've talked over with the administration as well, because people want to get back to school. But unfortunately, we're going to have to take this more slow and gradual approach to it. And it's the approach that, you know, Quincy Public Schools was commended for by the governor and the Department of Education just last week. You know, this is the plan if you want your students back in school that everyone in the Commonwealth should be following is what they've told us.
Right. Now, will the full remote option also exist come October 13th?
Yes. Yep. So all we're doing right now is we're simply adding grades 4 through 12 to what exists. They'll follow a similar model. We'll have full remote. We'll have the hybrid option for folks, and that choice will still be there.
Okay. And I know you're aware that some of the teachers have also expressed concern about being able to plan their classes and getting the information they need. Was that discussed at all by the committee?
Yeah, we had gone over that just a little bit. I think, to be frank, we're comfortable with what the administration is telling us, with what our principals are telling us. And I don't want to diminish how much work this takes. It quite literally takes a village right now. And every single person that's a part of QPS is giving, you know, 150%. They've been giving that for months and months and months. But that's not to say that everything is just wrapped up. You know, I mean, there are so many moving parts that, you know, things can take a little bit longer, and it's going to be a little bit stressful. But I do have the utmost confidence in all of our staff to get the job done.
Last time we talked, there was not an official assistant superintendent, but there is now.
You're right, there was not. But I'm really, really proud to say that Aaron Perkins is now the assistant superintendent of Quincy Public Schools. You know, Aaron has been with QPS for her entire career. You know, she started out as a special education teacher at Beechwood Knoll. She worked her way up and became the director of special education here in Quincy. She's gotten rave reviews from parents, from her colleagues, and she's always going above and beyond in everything that she does. And I think that was especially evident over the last few months during the pandemic, where she's really stepped up. And I'm really looking forward to having her in the role. And the other part that I wanted to mention is, you know, Dr. DeCristofaro and Mr. Mulvey were a great 1-2 pairing at the top, I think, because they shared varying strengths and weaknesses, and they balanced each other out. And I think Aaron really brings that now with Mr. Mulvey in the top position. So I'm very confident in not only them, but the entire leadership team that they have helped assemble as well.
Yeah, and with her background in special education, I'm sure it will be helpful with the new special education center that is in the planning right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, we have to have a few more discussions about the center as we move forward. You know, the last few months, we sort of detoured a little bit as some more pressing things have come up. But I, as you do know, you know, the city council reappropriated, I believe, was another $14 million for further renovation of that building. So that's certainly top of mind as well for us, and I know for the team. And just speaking of, the position for the special education director has been posted, and we're hoping within the next couple weeks that will close, at which point the superintendent and a hiring team, which will consist of staff, parents, other stakeholders, will whittle it down to a few finalists. They'll interview those finalists, and then the superintendent and that team will make a recommendation to the school committee, which the school committee will need to confirm.
Speaking of hiring, I had the opportunity not too long ago to actually chat with the superintendent Mulvey, and he said even if there were not a pandemic, one of his priorities would definitely be to diversify the staff and the administration and the personnel within the Quincy Public Schools. I know that's something that the committee is working on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talked about this in the late spring and over the summer as well. You know, and I think in the aftermath of some of the protests from around the country in the wake of a few injustices, you know, we had to take a harder look at our practices and what we're doing as a school committee and as a school system to make sure that we better reflect the student population that we have here in Quincy. We are a minority majority district. 56% of our students are non-white, but we got the statistics the other day. We're looking around 7% of QPS staff are persons of color. So we've got some work to do. But, you know, at the same time, that's not to say no one within QPS has been working on this issue, but we were able to get up to speed a little bit the other day. And I don't want to get it wrong, so I do have it in front of me, just about what, you know, what we're doing in general. So we had four things. The first was just expanding the applicant job postings about where we're posting these things, including School Spring and MassAll. You know, working with our current employers who are interested in moving up the ladder, who are persons of color, and establishing a structure for them in order to advance or better advance. One of my favorite ones, though, was was partnering with, there's an agency that partners with school districts across Massachusetts to better assist them with their practices and opens up a pipeline of more diverse candidates for us. Right now we're on the wait list for that. We're just two or three outside. They only take up to 30 programs. But my understanding from the other night is that there's a strong likelihood that Quincy will be able to join the group within hopefully the next couple months. They might open up a few more spots. And then the last one, we heard this during our actually interviews for superintendents. We heard this from other school committees. We've heard this from the Mass Association of School Committees. The best tool you have to attract more diverse candidates is to focus on the folks that are already in your buildings. And that's making sure that, you know, we establish better programming and a better environment overall for those students to make them feel like this is a place that they need to be and that they can really make a difference and give back. So I know, you know, it's never perfect, but it's something that we're all committed to on the school committee to make sure that we address this problem.
I know that it's already being addressed in the classroom, right? And on the student level, you've had an agency on board now for some time to deal with issues of potential bias or prejudice or racism in the schools.
Right, so that's Visions, Inc. The school committee, received a presentation from them actually in the spring about some of the professional development that they help administer, and we've brought them on, and they've given out a few different professional developments now on this training, and they do a fantastic job. We're in the process of getting feedback from those who have participated thus far. But we're also looking at bringing them in to help foster some community listening sessions within our schools, mainly the high schools, to talk about, you know, the Instagram posts from the past spring, to talk about George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and, you know, what that means for our community, what it means for our country overall. And we'll continue to partner with them as we move forward. But what we had committed to a few months ago was that these conversations were going to be had, but we never said they were going to be easy conversations. You know, it's a difficult topic to discuss, and we're looking forward to bring them in to get a higher level of expertise to carry them out.
Yeah. Curious, Anthony, will you be doing surveys like you did for the superintendent for the new director of special education?
No, so that's a little bit of a different process. So the superintendent's position, that is a very direct responsibility of the school committee. So to the point where, you know, we're responsible for every facet of it as a school committee. The assistant superintendent's position and the director of special education, Those require some oversight by the school committee, but not near the level of the superintendent. So it's sort of an in-between, you know, hiring a teacher, hiring these two positions, and then hiring a superintendent, where there's, you know, full oversight by the school committee, some oversight, and then no oversight. So again, those two positions, director of special ed and assistant super, just require a confirmation vote.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit, if we can, about what's going to happen when high school kids come back into the classroom. I know there's a specialized hybrid plan within the hybrid plan.
Yes. So we, last week and just 2 days ago when we had our subsequent meeting, talked with both Principal Shaw, Principal Tagg about the schedules. They had been working with the reopening task force to look at just what is hybrid going to look like for our students, you know, and again, there are definitely some challenges with just with scheduling and staffing. You know, there are only so many teachers in order to administer this, and we are required to offer that remote option. So it's been a little difficult, but after, I mean, multiple iterations of a schedule and trying to make things work, they have finally settled on one for hybrid. But hybrid students attend their classes in person for full days on 2 days of the week. We'll get synchronous remote instruction on 1 day and participate in asynchronous learning activities on 2 days. The asynchronous learning activities will have deadlines that require students to complete them during the school hours. It can include things like research, inquiry-based assignments, video lessons, writing assignments, web quests, different things of that nature. So again, students will be divided into two cohorts, you know, Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday. And we know it's not perfect, but at the same time, there's no perfect plan right now. You know, it's going to be difficult for all of us. And, you know, when the school committee oversees something and approves something, that's not to say, again, that it is perfect or doesn't need work. But as of right now, our principals are telling us this is the best available option. And it's what the reopening task force has recommended to us. So that's what we're going forward with. I know if folks have any questions, I would strongly urge them to reach out to our principals on that schedule, because they can explain it a lot better than I can.
Sure. Now, is there a deadline for those students or those parents of those students to let you know, or let the school system know what they've decided to do?
Yes, my understanding is that has already happened. One I mentioned earlier about the 100% response rate, that's sort of where we're at this moment in time. So those folks will continue, I think, until the end of term one. And then if they'd like to make another determination at the time, they'll be able to do so.
Okay. Is there, an ideal plan in place, Anthony, for full in-person learning? You know, has that been put pen to paper on that?
Yeah, so as of right now, there is not. And the reasoning for that is, you know, we don't even have all of our students back in at a hybrid yet.
Yeah.
So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. You know, what we have been told by Ruth Jones and really by the state as of right now is that we're going to have to maintain that 6-foot distancing. So very frankly, I mean, maintaining the 6-foot distancing to bring everyone back and do that is impossible. It's, and I don't say that to be flip. I say that because it's exactly verbatim what our superintendent, what our reopening task force said to us months and months ago when we talked about bringing students back in person under the three models we had to go over: the in person, the hybrid, and then the full remote plan. They said in person we could not do. So until the guidelines change, until our public health commissioner tells us that we can go from 6-foot distance to 3-foot distance, it's just something that we can't do. I don't like it any, you know, any more than the folks at home who are frustrated. And I know people are frustrated. I hope they know that, you know, I hear them, that everyone on the school committee hears them, and we're just as committed as the folks at home are to getting students back in the class. But again, we have to listen to our public health officials, and that's what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, simple math will dictate, right? You've got a 40 by 40 room and say 25 students in that room, put them 6 feet apart and they're out in the hallway.
That's right. And maybe we can get a few math problems in for our students when we can go back and how many students we could fit.
That's right. Somebody will do a flow chart on that, I'm sure.
Right. That could be very helpful for us, you know.
Anything else we should touch on today, Anthony?
No, I think for right now, that pretty much sums up the last couple of meetings. The next meeting of the school committee will be, I want to say, on the 14th, October 14th. We'll have another subcommittee as well. The purpose is slipping my mind at the moment, but I believe that should start up at 6 o'clock on October 14th will be the next meeting, and we're switching to every other week. Now for the first time since late March. We're going to take 1 week and be back at it as we typically do. So we're getting back into it as well.
Yeah. And you're meeting in person now, which is new.
Yes. Yeah. We have met in person over the last couple of months, actually, but we did take a brief reprieve just at the end of the summer. We had a few scheduling conflicts that we tried to adjust and ensure that everyone was able to make those meetings. And I should note, the other night, our meeting was in Quincy High School. We're in the buildings as well, and we're not going to ask anyone to do anything the school committee won't do themselves.
Sure. And we're happy to be able to cover those here at QATV for you as well.
Yeah, you do a fantastic job. And I know it's not easy. You know, you have to manually set up four or five cameras. You have to get the QATV truck to make sure it can be broadcast. You always do a fantastic job, and we genuinely cannot do this without you. So, Joe, thank you so much to you and everyone over at QATV.
Oh, our pleasure. Folks want to reach out, Anthony, for questions or comments, how do they do that?
Well, you can always reach out directly to me at anthonyandronico@quincypublicschools.com, or you can always reach out to the superintendent, anyone on the leadership team, for higher-level questions that might be above me. But we're always here to listen. You know, we might not always agree, but we take your feedback very seriously, and we'll always do our part to work together.
Great. Appreciate your time, and hopefully we can catch up again after the next meeting.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Joe.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.